Imagine actually loving everything you have in your closet. I'm getting a little closer to that experience the more I get from Honeylove. I've learned I can really rely on the comfort, fit, quality, and look of Honeylove no matter what. And it seems like they think of everything we might want but didn't know existed. The Legging 2.0, for example, has it all. Comfort, function, and style. Smooth, soft fabric, hidden shaping panels that make me feel extra supported and confident, sheer-proof fabric so I have no worries, side pockets for the convenience I need, a super cute look, and more. And I love that I can wear them out and about, around the house, or to work out. And Honeylove addresses all of the typical complaints about bras and shapewear, too. All of Honeylove's products make everything I wear feel better. So yes, Honeylove has you covered for the everyday look, workouts, weddings, and more. Go check it out. Treat yourself to the best bras, shapewear, leggings, and more on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/newsworthy. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/newsworthy. After your purchase, they ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. Thank you so much for listening. Today, a speech to make the planet great again, and Trump's personal lawyer says he'll plead the fifth. Plus, Facebook's profits, a new Gmail, and Amazon Echo for kids. All that and much more in less than 10 minutes. And hang out today after the news for Three Question Thursday. In honor of Earth Day last Sunday, we are taking you behind the scenes of BBC's Planet Earth series.
We're not coming back with some failures. I like to think we're not really trying hard enough.
I'm Erica Mandy. Today is Thursday, April 26th. You ready? Let's do this. It wasn't all bromance by the end of the French president's trip to the White House this week. President Emmanuel Macron spoke to Congress before he left, and The Hill reports he warned lawmakers not to let fear and anger close off the United States. Fox News said the speech gently swiped at some of President Trump's policies. The New York Times says the speech was sharply critical. A couple of the issues Macron brought up: the Iran nuclear deal, climate change, and the tariffs President Trump put in place for other countries. He disagrees with Trump on all that. In fact, he used Trump's campaign slogan to say that we should, quote, make our planet great again. The speech seemed to strike a slightly different tone than what we saw with the two leaders earlier this week. They seemed a lot more chummy before. Although the speech did praise the relationship between the two countries as well and said, quote, together we shall prevail. The U.S. Supreme Court will have final say on President Trump's so-called travel ban. The Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday. The New York Times says it looks like the court is leaning toward allowing the ban. The state of Hawaii is leading the way in trying to stop that. The state says it discriminates against Muslims. Remember, this is President Trump's latest version of the travel ban. It doesn't allow people to come into the U.S. from certain countries, and most of them are Muslim-majority countries. But one of the justices said this week there are plenty of other reasons those countries could be on the list. Stay tuned for a final ruling. It's expected by the end of June. The president's personal lawyer says he plans to plead the Fifth. The Fifth Amendment. That basically means he won't testify. Remember, the FBI raided attorney Michael Cohen's office and hotel room. It's about his role in a contract and payment to Stormy Daniels, the adult film star who says she had an affair with President Trump and then was paid to keep quiet about it. Cohen has admitted to paying Daniels $130,000 in hush money. But some have wondered if the money somehow came from the president and if that broke any campaign finance laws. It all seems to be under investigation, and now Cohen is saying he's going to refuse to testify. He'll plead the Fifth and keep quiet. President Trump has said not true about the affair, and he says he didn't have knowledge of the payment. The Hill had the reaction from Stormy Daniels' lawyer, so the other side of this. He called it stunning and tweeted, quote, "Never before in our nation's history has the attorney for the sitting president invoked the Fifth Amendment in connection with issues surrounding the president." To be continued. All right, other things people may be talking about today. It seems all the bad PR has not done much damage to Facebook's bottom line. The Wall Street Journal says Facebook's earnings report showed better than expected revenue and profits. It's the first earnings report since all the privacy data concerns first came out. And it led to the stock going up as well. Remember, Facebook dealt with some backlash because of the data firm Cambridge Analytica. It got a hold of millions of people's data without their permission. Big changes are coming to Ford. The car company says it's getting rid of all of its North American cars except two models, the Mustang sports car and a compact Focus crossover. CBS News says Ford wants to save money and focus on trucks and SUVs instead. It means no more making cars like the Fusion or Fiesta cars. Those will go. Stay tuned for what they're calling the restructuring. It's not clear yet if or how many employees could be cut. Starbucks wants to focus more on drive-thrus. Bloomberg reports it'll add a drive-thru lane to 80% of new Starbucks stores in the U.S. The current spots that have drive-thrus are apparently doing pretty well. And the competition is getting fierce from Dunkin' Donuts, who gets people through the drive-thru lane faster than Starbucks. Subway will say goodbye to 500 stores in the U.S. this year, and it closed even more than that last year. Instead, Bloomberg says the company wants to expand more around the world. Gmail just got a makeover. So what's different? Well, there are new features like snooze, which can bring back an email to your inbox at a later date. There's also nudging, which TechCrunch says uses AI to figure out what's important to you and then reminds you to reply to certain emails. You can also have your calendar, tasks, and Google Keep right on the sidebar of your inbox. And get this, there's confidential mode. If you put this setting on, you can choose how long the email will be available to read, and the person you're sending it to won't be able to forward, copy and paste, download, or print the content. Of course, you can't stop someone from taking a picture of it or screen grab, but you get the idea. If you want to give it a try, go to your Gmail account on the web version, then go to the setting drop-down in the upper right-hand corner, and the first option should say Try New Gmail. There's a new kid-friendly version of a smart speaker. Amazon showed off the Echo Dot Kids edition. It plays music, answers questions, and comes with a subscription that offers kid-friendly books and ad-free radio. Amazon also partnered with companies like Disney and Nickelodeon to offer some games and stories. CNN says it's made for kids 5 to 12 years old. And yes, there's a bunch of parental controls. That's it for the main news today, but it's now time for 3 Question Thursday, where we get some bonus information from a different expert every Thursday. And because it was Earth Day last Sunday, this week we're taking you behind the scenes of BBC's Planet Earth TV series. My guest today is an Australian wildlife biologist and filmmaker. He has a PhD on gelada baboons in Ethiopia and worked with National Geographic, Discovery Channel, and the BBC series Planet Earth. And he did speak to me from his home in the UK, so you might notice just a few times it cuts out a little bit, but it's not too bad. So here's my conversation with Chadden Hunter. Hi, Chadden. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Lovely to be here.
So can you describe what it's really like to be there to capture some of this incredible footage? And I'm sure you have some crazy stories as well.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, as anyone who loves nature, I say it's the best job in the world to be out there tracking down some of the world's rarest animals. The challenge these days is to try and get our cameras in as close as we possibly can. That's what really has changed in wildlife filmmaking over the years. It used to be enough to just show you a telescopic view of a distant animal, whereas these days we're really trying to compete with drama and big box sets like Game of Thrones or something. So we're trying to get the cameras in closer to the action, trying to give you, the viewer, a much more immersive experience. Gives you quite a thrill. I was up on the tundra in the Arctic trying to find caribou, and I was out on my own and spotted a grizzly bear that started coming towards me. And of course, there's nowhere to run or hide out there on the tundra. And my camp manager said, "Don't run, only prey runs." So I started walking back to camp as fast as I could. And I held a little camcorder up over my shoulder so that I could watch the bear in the rearview mirror while I said some goodbyes to loved ones. Obviously, the bear didn't catch up with me, but it was just those kind of thrilling encounters with wildlife is why we do the job. There's another great encounter that did make it into Planet Earth 2, where we were in this really tall grass in India, and we could hear rhinos near us, these really angry, aggressive Asian rhinos. And we didn't have weapons or guns. We just had to try and make noise. And in the behind the scenes, you see us there amongst this grass, trying to listen to where these rhinos were, trying to throw little bits of clay to try and clear the rhinos out of the grass. But generally, we're not in danger from wildlife. A lot of people ask, what's the scariest animal you've encountered? But I really try to help people learn that animals really aren't that dangerous. Normally, it's other humans.
And how patient do you have to be? I mean, how long can it take to get some of those shots? And how do you get into the perfect place at the perfect time?
Well, it takes years and years of research. We take about 3 to 4 years to make one of these TV shows, a Planet Earth or a Blue Planet. And over that time, we spend about 6 to 9 months just doing pure research. We'll talk to scientists. We'll make sure we got our facts right. And then there's a reasonable amount of luck involved. We plan it as much as we can, but you've got to go out there and hope the animals turn up. If all your research is right, you might have some luck. But again, if we're not coming back with some failures, I like to think we're not really trying hard enough. I mean, we really are trying to show you, the viewer, animals you've never seen before. And sometimes animals don't read the script and don't turn up. So that's part of the fun and games of a career in wildlife filmmaking. We've had amazing advances in technology. And one of the best ones has been that we can leave remote cameras out in location now. We have very high quality images, say 4K or ultra high definition, and that camera can sit out there in the jungle or on a mountain pass and wait for an animal to pass. And then we have a little infrared beam, a bit like a security trigger like you might have at a bank or something. And as the animal walks past, that snow leopard might trigger that beam, and then the camera switches on. And so we're getting intimate portraits of animals because we're not disturbing them. We're not getting a human being near them. But when that animal comes past the camera, you can hear it breathing, you can hear it roaring. Technology has really allowed us to get deeper into that animal's world.
So after years of all that work, what's it like to actually watch the final product and everything come together?
Oh, it's a joy to watch those final images come together. I mean, we work so hard, years and years of trying to capture this footage and trying to outsmart animals to get into their little private world. And when you pull those images together and you sit there with an editor, and we edit these things for about 6 to 9 months, and then we put on the soundtrack, we use composers as famous as Hans Zimmer, and when we bring that together, it really gives you goosebumps to watch it, because you know you're creating something that will move people, will have an impact. And it really is the power of that emotional storytelling, which is the challenge for us as filmmakers.
So what surprised you most about Earth and all your travels? And what do you hope the audience takes away as well?
I think in my career as a wildlife filmmaker and biologist, I've become amazed at how well the Earth can recover if we give it a chance. I don't want to turn away from the incredible conservation issues that we're facing. But when you do see us give a habitat a chance or give wildlife a chance, it really can bounce back. We've seen this with, say, fisheries that have been overfished and protected and come back. We've seen it with polluted rivers, say, in North America that have made amazing recoveries. And I think that small bit of hope is something that we really have to cling on to, because there's a lot of bad news about conservation at the moment. And we have to keep fighting, we have to keep inspiring the next generation, but depression is not a great motivator. And so I think clinging onto that hope that the Earth can recover if we give it a chance gives us that incentive to say, okay, you know, the next generation really have to try and make the effort to protect these places. And I think for me, I was inspired at a young age by these amazing wildlife documentaries, and it led me on a career of wildlife conservation, biology, and now filmmaking. So if I have one hope for these big, glossy wildlife shows, it's that it's inspiring a new generation of children to work in nature jobs or to even become filmmakers or conservationists.
Good stuff. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
And you can learn more about Chad and Hunter in today's show notes or find and follow him on social media. And if you haven't seen the Planet Earth series, I really do recommend it. It's very good. You can watch it on Netflix. As always, you can read more about all the news we talked about in today's episode by heading on over to thenewsworthy.com. Just click episodes, then find today's date, Thursday, April 26th. Please be sure to fill out the survey at thenewsworthy.com/survey. You'll be entered for a chance to win an Amazon gift card if you fill it out before the end of April. Thanks so much again for listening. The Newsworthy is ready for you by 4 in the morning Eastern Time every weekday. So I'll be back with more news tomorrow. Have a great day.